Thank you for joining us on Running and Racing with Leo Shoemaker and Friends on KMRE 88.3 FM in Bellingham, Washington. We talk to experts about training, nutrition, and gear. We also feature inspiring stories from runners of all levels, whether you're a beginner or a seasoned pro. This show on KMRE 88.3 FM is the perfect place to learn, laugh, and get motivated. My guest tonight is the fastest six-year-old woman on earth, Sue Patterson McDonald. Thank you for coming on Running and Racing.
Thank you, Leo. Thank you for having me.
The last time we talked was 2013. Isn't that amazing?
That is so long ago. So much has happened since then.
So we talked about your beginnings back then. We talked about how you were doing high jump and track and field. You're a master's runner now, and you're still a mom, yes, of course, and you're a coach. Now, what's happening these days that's so important for the world to hear?
Well, back when I talked to you before, I was had aspirations to break the world record in the women's 50 to 54 high jump. And I was training at that time to do so. And I did get the American record, just missed the world. But at the same time, I actually hurt my hip labrum. I tore it when I was high jumping. So I thought my high jumping days were over. So I basically started doing other things, like, what can I do? You know, maybe I can't jump anymore. So I started like doing marathons, and then I realized that long distance running probably isn't the best thing for my hip, because I had some hip pain from just the repetitive motions of running. So that kind of led me into like trying the 400 and 800 meters. I thought maybe my body can handle that. And that's kind of when I started focusing on middle distance in 2018.
That's amazing that you've done that. It's a change. A lot of people should do this. Make a change in your sporting career and go to something that doesn't hurt so much, because marathons do hurt. Your knees hurt, your hips hurt, your feet hurt. And what you're doing now is still probably still hurts. I've seen a couple of videos of you coming down at the finish line, but it's not as long, right? How what's the distance that you run?
I do anything from the 200 meters through the mile, or even the steeplechase, like 2000 meter steeplechase I did for the first time last year. I do the mile, I do the hurdles. I kind of do a little bit of everything. I do combined events, which is like the decathlon, heptathlon, pentathlon. So I just get bored if I do like one or two things.
That's amazing. You're a mom of three. You have 12 world records. Do you have any more than that, or have you increased that record?
I think that's what I have right now. I got the pentathlon world record in January February, when I went to the Canadian National Championships. But a very talented American named Naringa, she beat my score at nationals, at indoor nationals. So that's fine. I think it makes us both, you know, just strive for better, you know, better times and better jumps.
Well, when I see pictures of you at events, you always have a group around you, and they're always smiling, and you guys are always happy to share your knowledge to each other. What do you tell other runners to do?
Well, it depends on if they're beginners or if they're maybe been doing masters track and field for a while. So which audience would you want me to speak to? Beginners or?
Well, the ones that you're running with now, the athletes that you run with, you guys probably get together and talk about your training. You probably talk about your coaches, because your coach is Terry Howell, which I've got a picture of him on my wall running at the pier down by the in Santa Barbara.
Him and
Duncan Thomas, him and one other guy. And he's always inspired me. So how does he inspire you to talk to other people, to tell them what you know?
Well, I think a lot of my success and what I share with people is to have confidence in yourself, to, you know, train as hard as you can, train smart. I also focus a lot on the mental game of sports. So I do a lot of meditation, visualization, hypnosis type of stuff. I'm a little bit crazy there in the mental side of things, but I think if people spent a little bit more time working on their mental game, they would get through some of those races a lot easier. Yeah, and recovery is really important. So, I cross train twice a week. So I run 5 days a week. I don't really have any days off where I'm just totally off. I think it's good to like just kind of keep moving. So when I have my cross train days, they're typically just getting on the bike, not really, huffing and puffing or anything. But I also try to get like 8 hours sleep and stay away from alcohol, just a little bit here and there. But yeah, just rest and recovery is really important as we age.
Now, you don't lift heavy weights, but you do physical therapy type of exercises every day. And what are physical therapy type of exercises?
Well, like today, for instance, I do this program called the Foot, Ankle, and Achilles program. And that was basically just doing like calf raises, but in a certain way where you're going full range of motion with a knee drive and coming up on your toes. Let's see, what else? Some hip bridges. Because I do a lot of therapy for my hip. Hip hinges. It's kind of hard to explain if I'm not like showing you a video. But isometrics. I do a lot of extreme isometrics. So like you get into a lunge position, or like the low lunge position, and you contract all your muscles. So you pretend that you're pulling your front leg towards your back and your back leg towards your front. So you're contracting and you hold it for like 30 seconds or up to even like 3 or 4 minutes on each side. It kind of just takes some time to adapt. But I do a lot of isometrics, which really help the joints and ligaments get stronger.
Mm-hmm. Well, I remember isometrics back in the old days when I was first starting out track and field. It was interesting, but you didn't feel that it really helped. But it does help, doesn't it?
Well, yeah, it's a little bit different than probably the isometrics that you remember from back then.
Way back then.
This is like, this is where you're really. Making a muscle, like you're contracting all your muscles, and it's not anything where you're just like, daydreaming. I mean, it's very taxing. And like all your muscle fibers are like firing at like an incredible speed. So it really actually helps endurance. And it also helps like injuries. Like whenever I'm injured, I do a lot of extreme isometrics. There's also something called extreme slow isometrics where you start in like a lunge, you start in a high lunge position and then you slowly go down. Like you take like maybe 30 seconds or a minute to go from the top of the lunge position to the bottom. So there's a lot of things like that can help in a lot of different ways.
We're talking to Sue McDonald about her track and field career. She is the fastest 60-year-old woman on earth. And here's the thing I have. Whenever I toe the line at a starting line, I get nervous. What do you do to avoid that, to not get nervous at the starting line?
That's a good question because I used to get nervous too. And I took a course called The Confident Athlete and The Relaxed Athlete by Dr. Patrick Cohn. And that really was a game changer for me. So I went through the whole program, but what I do that's really quick is I do a breathing technique where that's something really simple where you just breathe in for 4 seconds and you breathe out for 6 seconds. So you just want to breathe in for a short amount of time and then breathe out longer than when you inhaled. And if you just sit there and I'll find a quiet place, right by the start line, like I'll make sure I have enough time to get ready and warmed up and everything, but I'll find a quiet place and just lie down, close my eyes and do some breathing. And that really, really helps you relax. So that's my go-to
for
relaxation at the start ring. Yeah, it's very simple. You can just do it anywhere.
We're talking to Sue McDonald about her training, how she gets ready for the starting line. Here's a question I have. Now, there's events that you do, a bunch of events, the pentathlon and decathlon. What do you do between the events? Because you are exhausted when those things are over, aren't you?
Yeah, they have to give you 30 minutes in between events. So once the last person, like let's say in the high jump, once the last person takes their last jump, then you have 30 minutes of rest in between. Typically, you have enough time to kind of cool down and then like warm up again for the next one. So you might have a snack, like, a bar or a piece of fruit or a piece of bread or something like that. But really, there's not a lot of time. Typically, if they're moving along with 30 minutes, there's not a lot of time to do anything except kind of like just stretch out, like just keep moving. Because if you stop moving, you kind of get stiffened up.
Yeah, that's a good point. Now, how about nutrition? Because you are very healthy and you look like an athlete. What do you do to keep that mindset on your body, you know, keep it going?
Yeah, well, I kind of changed my nutrition about a year ago. I started working with a nutritionist, Cynthia Monteleone out of Hawaii. And prior to working with her, I was plant-based, but I would eat, actually, I guess you could call myself a pescatarian, because I would eat salmon. But yeah, I did not eat any poultry or red meat. But when I started working with her, I wanted to try something different because I really didn't feel like I was getting enough protein in my current diet. And it'd been like 7 years since I've eaten meat. So I was like, oh, you know, might as well just kind of give it a try. You know, I really want to do my best for the upcoming indoor world championships in Poland last year. So I made the big change. Everything went smooth. And another thing, I kind of don't eat any dairy or gluten. Try to stay away from alcohol as much as I can. And yeah, so ever since then, I mean, it's a combination of a lot of different things. Like I used to get maybe 5 hours of sleep and now I get 7 to 8. And I have my new coach, Terry Howell. So a lot of changes took place last year, about a year and a half ago. And everything just kind of fell into place. And I just had an amazing year last year and a great start to this year. So, yeah, I think the nutrition has a lot to do with it.
But you talk about Susips from your husband's glass.
Yes. So when I'm in deep training, like this is my last week. I had a little bit of a down week after I did indoor nationals in Chicago, and then a week later I flew to New York and got the world record in the mile. And so I did a lot of traveling, a lot of high pressured, you know, races like in a short amount of time. So I took a down week where I just kind of jogged and you know, just cross trained and stuff like that and just had fun. And then I just allowed myself to have, you know, golf line every day. And but I told myself I'm gonna start having the Susips. So what those are is if my husband has a glass of wine at night, then I get 2 Susips, I call them. And that way, you know, I don't feel like I'm totally missing out. And I'm, you know, just kind of, I don't know, just, it just kind of helps, you know. It's not enough to have any negative, you know, negative on me. So I just have fun with that.
That's great. Sue McDonald's here on Running and Racing with Leo Shoemaker and Friends on KMRE 88.3 FM in Bellingham, Washington. Sue and I last talked when I was hosting Running and Racing in Santa Barbara, California on KCSB 91.9. I had a great talk about your history and what you're doing now. There's a message that you send to everybody. There is an event for everybody, whether you love to run, jump, throw, there is something for you. For elite runners, you inspire others to stay in the sport for a long time. Do you feel you've done that? Has that been your goal, or is that just, it just happened because you happen to be still going?
It's kind of morphed into, you know, inspiring other people to, you know, basically just start working out or do some sort of exercise program. In fact, I have a fun story. I met a woman after I broke some world records in Boston. I was solo, so I went to a restaurant and I celebrated with a glass of wine. And I met a woman there. We just got to talking, and since then she's been following me on Instagram. And she told me the other day that I inspired her to start a walking program. So, you know, it doesn't have to be, you know, that you want to go for records or, you know, gold medals or whatever. It made my day to know that I inspired someone to just start moving, you know.
That is great. And it's funny how we drive ourselves and people see us and they go, oh, maybe we can do that too. And I think you've done that. You're also a coach. Tell us about your coaching.
Yeah, I coach remotely. So I design workout programs, both strength training and running programs for people, mostly masters athletes, actually. You kind of seem to attract the same type of people. I had started a track club a couple of years ago. I've kind of passed the torch recently, but that was kind of fun to get. It was mostly women together on a team, and we would meet up at nationals. Like everyone was kind of spread out throughout the U.S., so that was great to have like a support system within our team. That's been a lot of fun.
You also do blue collar running. What is that?
Oh, no, that's not me. That's Terry Howell's group.
Ah, got it. Okay.
Yeah. So I, yeah. So when I train, I train mostly alone, but once a week I meet the blue collar running crew over at either UCSB or Santa Barbara City College, and we have a track workout together. We may not all be doing the same intervals, but we're all there, like supporting each other and, saying, "Hey, great job." So that the blue collar running is Terry Howell's business. So,
Who influenced you to start running?
I don't think anyone did, to be honest. I just loved running. It was like PE class in, St. Elizabeth Elementary School, and I just had to be the first one around the two softball fields, when the PE teacher said, "Go jog a lap," and so that's when I kind of knew that I loved running, and I was competitive. So my mom stuck me in some Parks and Recreation track meets like once or twice a year, and then when I got to high school, I did. That's when I started doing track. But I do have to. I want to before we forget. I do want to make a correction that I am not the fastest 60-year-old in the world, because there are women that are faster in the 60, the 100, and the 200. So I guess you could say I'm the fastest over 400 meters through the 2,000 meter steeplechase. I just want
Good.
to correct
I stand
that.
corrected. So the question I
Okay.
have now, you have records in the 400 to the 2,000. What are the record numbers? 400 meters, or is it a 440 or 400 meters?
It's 400 meters, yeah. So my records are in the 300 hurdles, 400, 800, 1500 outdoors, mile indoors, mile outdoors, the heptathlon, the 2000 meter steeplechase, and indoors I have the 400 and 800
That's a lot of
in
records.
the
Now, the
mile, yeah.
steeplechase, that's a really interesting race to watch. Whenever I see it come on TV, I stop and watch it. Tell the listeners what a steeplechase is, please.
Yeah, so for my age group, we only run 2,000 meters, but typically for the younger people, it's a 3,000 meter steeplechase. And they have barriers that do not move, like hurdles, you hit them and they fall down. They have barriers around the track, and one of the barriers is over a water jump. And you get over the barriers any way you want. You can hurdle them, or you can step on them. You could put your hands on the thing and pommel horse over it. But I found that it was the hardest thing I've ever done in track and field.
Why?
I think it's because I wasn't trained for it.
But that's a hard race to train for. Now you see the barrier in front of you, because they're big barriers. They're not really tiny barriers like
Yeah.
the hurdles are. They're big and they're solid.
They're big,
And I
yeah.
watch it, and there's always somebody that falls in the water.
Yes.
And I think to
Well,
myself, what do you do then?
I think of myself as more of a 400, 800 runner. And so a 2,000 meters is pretty long. I mean, I did the mile, 1,600, but a 2,000 meters is very long, and it's a very different way to train for that sort of thing. You have to do a lot more miles than I typically do in a week. And I didn't, I think I did one day of practice, no, 2 days of practice over the barriers, and that's it. And then I just went for it.
Wow. And how was it? What did you feel the first time you did that?
Well, the first 3 laps felt pretty good. I was going pretty slow. I mean, I just felt like I was jogging. But the thing is, it catches up when it catches up to you, like the last 2 laps. And I'm serious when I say this. I was cussing every single time I would go over a barrier, and I would almost come to a stop, and then I would hurdle it. But cussing. And then go up to the next one, and I'd sprint to the next one, almost come to the stop, hurdle it, cuss, and go over it. Yeah, it was hilarious.
Wow. Now, is there a video of you doing all these things? Because it'd be really interesting to everybody out there on Running a Race and to see you participate with videos or with pictures. I've seen some of your pictures
Yeah.
on Instagram. What is your Instagram name, by the way?
It's Sue McDonald Fitness.
Okay.
Yeah, and there's some videos and lots of photos on my website, Sue McDonald Fitness, and my Instagram. And well, Runnerspace is a company that films all of our nationals, but it's a subscription-based video. But yeah, there's some video. I'm hoping no one had a video of that steeplechase, because I really would be embarrassed.
Well, I have a video of you from 2012 or 2011 of you. Were you going to the high jump, or you were throwing the javelin? I forgot which one it was. I'll have to look up for it.
Hopefully it's the high jump. I would love to see that.
Yeah, I'll send it to you. And I think that's important that people know the technique. Now, speaking about technique, what about your equipment? Does that help you? You have to have a variety of equipment for all the races you do, different races, longer spikes, little smaller spikes for the sprints, etc. What do you use?
Well, you know, I have a lot of different spikes and shoes. I have my sprint spikes for the 100, 200, 300, 400. I have middle distance for the 800 and the mile and the 1500. I use those same ones for the steeplechase. I have javelin boots. I have high jump shoes. I have shot put shoes. I have long jump shoes.
Wow.
Yeah, so you have to travel with another bag.
Oh, yeah. It must be a big bag.
Going places. Yeah.
Are you sponsored by anyone?
No, I'm looking for sponsors, though.
I'll sponsor you. Running a race with Leo Shoemaker, friends.
There you go. I'll take it.
Oh, that's so cool. And the whole feeling that you put out there is very positive. I see you doing these events, and I'm going, this is really amazing. I wish everybody had that in their heart, in their mind, in their soul. And it's not always possible. Sometimes you really question yourself. Have you ever questioned yourself?
Like why am I doing this, or should I be doing this?
Yes,
or,
yes.
Well, part of me thinks I'm a little nuts for doing things like like high jumping again, you know, when I have a torn hip labrum, you know, and how I tore it was high jumping. So that's a little bit crazy, but you know, I'm smart enough to not practice the high jump. I might practice the approach, but I don't actually jump in practice. You know, so I do things that are a little bit safer. I save the actual jumping for meets, and I probably only high jump like twice a year. So anyway, that's just one way. Mm-hmm. So when I pole vault, you know, I haven't pole vaulted in probably 2 years. But I was a pole vaulter in 95 and 96. And I think I'm crazy. You know, I ask myself, like, why are you doing this? Like, you're going to try to get upside down on a pole and, you know, clear that thing. So, yeah, I mean, sometimes I wonder if, you know, I'm doing my body a favor, or am I, you know, is it harming my body by training so hard? Because I'm not training as hard as I did in college, but I'm pretty darn close. There's many times in practice where I'm on the ground, like you saw in that video, mm-hmm. to finish my mile.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
You know, so there's definitely some practices where I go to the well, and you know, I just have to sit down on the track. And but, you know, all that stuff I just know kind of makes me better for when I race.
And you inspire others. Now, I want to ask you about high jump. When I watch people start their high jump, they do a technique. Everybody does a different technique. They point at the pole, or the high jump, or they look away and do something. Or do you have a technique yourself that for high jumping that makes you unique? It's really unique.
Not really. I mean, I take 4 walking steps into my high jump approach, but you know, many people do that. It's one thing I do is I, right before I go, for some reason my left hand, the fingers of my left hand, kind of look like they're playing a piano.
Oh.
And right before I go, they just kind of start doing this thing, like, you know, if there's a piano keyboard right there, you know, I'd be playing. So I don't know what that's all about, but that's just something I've always done. But maybe no other person does that.
That's interesting. Now here's something that I want to ask. I've always wanted to ask a pole vaulter this. You practice, but it's a long pole, and then you have to stick it exactly right. And then you have to go up and over. What's it like to go up and over? What do you see when you put the pole down? Are you looking up at the bar up ahead?
Well, you're not supposed to.
Really? I didn't know that.
Unfortunately, I've never gotten to the point to where I really pole vault with excellent technique. In fact, I don't know if it's because I was a high jumper first, but when it gets higher, when the bar gets higher, I tend to go over backwards, because I forget to turn. You're supposed to turn your body and go over like in a pike position. And sometimes, and I think I also just get nervous because I just don't practice it a lot or do it a lot anymore. So sometimes I'll go over backwards, which is a little embarrassing, but it's pretty common for people that are starting out.
You feel like you're flying.
Yeah, you do. It's exhilarating. I mean, I think it's more fun than high jump because it's just thrilling and exhilarating to fly through the air like that. And especially if you make the bar, it's just so much fun.
Oh, that's great. Sue McDonald, it's been a blast talking to you again. Now, what future plans do you have coming up? Where are you going to be at?
Well, I'm planning on doing the USATF Masters 1 mile road race, which is in Danville. That's in May. Mm-hmm. I applied for the Masters Exhibition 800 meters, which is going to take place at the Olympic Trials at Hayward Field in Eugene, Oregon.
Wow.
That's in June. Yeah. And then in July is the USATF Outdoor National Championships in Sacramento. And then the biggie is the World Masters Athletics Championships in Sweden in August. So I'm hoping to win multiple world championships. That's my goal. I've never been crowned world champion, and I definitely have that on my list.
What is your favorite time in any event you've done recently?
I think it's the 62.30 or 0.34 that I did in Outdoor Nationals in the 400 because it just kind of felt so easy, and I just knew there's more in the tank. And that's why my coach and I, Terry and I, have a goal of running my age this year in the 400. So my goal is to run 61 at age 61, and I just turned 61, so now it's time to go after it.
Oh, it is. And tell us where we can follow you at. You say you have an Instagram account?
Yeah, Instagram is Sue McDonald Fitness, and I also have a Facebook page in the same name, and you can email me at sue@suemcdonaldfitness.com. I think that's about it.
I hope that you do get someone to take pictures of you and video you. I think it's important we keep a record. I keep a journal that I've been keeping since 1984, a running journal. So when I get old and can't do anything anymore, I'm going to have my nurse read it to me. I hope that you do the same thing. I hope with the videos, you'll be able to look back at them and go, wow, that was me. And it'll make you young again, won't it?
Yes, that's true. I'm going to set that up.
All right. Sue McDonald's been our guest here on Running and Racing with Leo Shoemaker and Friends on KMRE 88.3 FM. Sue, I'm going to go out there and try to find an event that you're participating in and just watch an expert at it, a master.
Thank you. Well, thank you for having me. It's been a lot of fun.
All right. Talk to you next time.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Bye.